Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hyperconscious Podcast. Alan, what is Hyperconscious?
Once you understand why something is the way that it is, now you have the power to change it. Great conversations with great people and great questions are the keys to the kingdom of unlocking your consciousness.
Every single action that you do starts as a thought. When you control the way you think, you will control the way you act, and you will control the way you live. That is hyperconscious. Geographically. This is cool. So I would say make sure that pretty face is showing.
Yes, true.
They're going to want to see that thing. They're going to want to see that thing, Alan. That face. You good?
Ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another very special, as always, episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our latest episode where Alan and I talked about perspective, and we looked back in our past to reveal the perspective that we have gained. Today, we are going to do a very special Small Talks episode on the word vulnerability.
Yeah, so real quick, friendly reminder, go to the hyperconsciouspodcast.com. Kevin actually just revamped the whole website. It looks way better now.
Yes.
And the button is join the Hyperconscious Nation.
Join Hyperconscious Nation, not okay. The Hyperconscious
okay.
Nation.
Okay,
Hyperconscious
my apologies.
Nation.
Join Hyperconscious Nation. You're going to get 3 morning minutes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to kickstart your days off right. Folks, stay motivated, stay on point. We want to help you do that. Now I'm going to jump into vulnerability.
Jump into vulnerability. For those on YouTube, you see we have new mic stands. We got some new lights. We are we're moving on up in the world. Moving on up.
That was nice.
Yeah, pretty good, right?
Appreciate that.
Yeah. I thought you would.
So there's 3 definitions here that I actually like, all 3 of them. Number 1, capable of or susceptible to being wounded or hurt as by a weapon. It's like a military one. Number 2, open to moral attack, criticism, temptation. And then number 3, open to assault, difficult to defend. There actually is a 4th one that I do not think is relevant. So vulnerability in its essence is basically being, when you say I'm vulnerable, you are open to attack. You're open to criticism. You're open to a wound of some kind, usually a wound of the heart.
Ah, a wound of the heart. I like that. Mm. I recently watched a Netflix documentary of Brené Brown. She is somebody who studied shame. She used to be, I think she was a teacher at the University of Texas, but she did this, it was kind of like a talk.
Yeah.
It was basically like an hour, I think it was like an hour and 15 minutes of her on stage, and she was talking about vulnerability. That is her thing. She's all about vulnerability. And basically, like, number one, I learned a lot, but it brought a lot of perspective for me too. If you're doing anything out of your comfort zone, if you're doing anything that there's fear of failure, there's a chance you could fail, that your results or the effort will be remarked upon, you are being vulnerable.
Yep.
And that is almost a necessity. If you're trying to do something outside of your current skill set, your current reach, you have to be vulnerable in order to do it. Every time we step in front of these microphones, we're being vulnerable.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a different, I'll get back to that. But I remember when I was younger, when I was probably in my early 20s, any girlfriend I had, my biggest, the time where I was most uncomfortable is when they were vulnerable. Like, if they were out at the bar, I would always feel very unsettled, uneasy.
Okay.
Because they were vulnerable. And I could never explain to them, like, I don't think anything's going to happen to you, but what if it does? And that goes back to vulnerability. Like, when you're hammered, you're vulnerable. Your guard is down. Your motor skills are down. Like, that's another example.
Your awareness is down.
Yeah, that's another example of being vulnerable. And I wanted to share that because that's something that I struggled with for a long time. Like, any girlfriend of mine who used to go out and drink without me present, I wouldn't sleep. Because it's like, you're so vulnerable right now to anything. Like a terrible person, a terrible man who wants to try to take advantage of you. Like, I used to lose sleep over that shit.
So I never thought about it that way.
Vulnerability is all over the place. And I think a lot of people don't even realize that's why it bothers them. Like, I never knew why.
Right.
It was never, I think you're going to do something. I think somebody else is going to do something to you.
Interesting.
Because you're super vulnerable.
Right.
So I wanted to bring that.
What's another example of a time where you felt vulnerable?
Oh, wow. Hard conversations. Like, we just had a hard conversation before this.
Yeah, we did. Always.
You know, anytime you think, like, you're like, okay, this could hurt, or I could get rejected, or this person might disagree with me, or my feelings might get hurt. That's any conversation you're having where you might not get the result that you want, but you're putting yourself out there with the chance of any sort of rejection. I think that's where vulnerability lives.
When was the last time you were in that spot?
Oh, wow. A week ago?
Right.
I try to do that. Now, if you're a man listening to this, you may say, well, being vulnerable makes me weak. I would have agreed with you 10 years ago, probably 3 years ago, not even 10. But I'm learning through studying relationships,
yeah,
through dating somebody who is very, very, very into communication. Like, it is non-negotiable, and I love that because that's something that I really want to get better at.
Mm.
I think communication in a relationship is the most important thing. I've said that before.
I said trust, but right, they go hand in hand.
They definitely go hand in hand. But we were talking about something the other night, and it was just, I had to be vulnerable about the way I was feeling. And that's hard. It's not always your natural reaction. It's not always... You have to understand, and I think it's very important to realize the person that you're being vulnerable with. It's very easy for me to be vulnerable with you because I know I don't fear your judgment. Sometimes I do. Very rarely, though. Very rarely.
Interesting. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Well, you'll say, like, you're fucking soft. And I'll say, yes, yes, I am.
Occasionally.
But I think it's very important. Like, if you're in a relationship and you're afraid to speak your truth, you're going to find it very, very difficult to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
And you can't make decisions to move forward on something that isn't true.
Mm.
So, like, an example of being in a relationship and having a conversation on what's really going on, I think that's the only way to form a connection. So I think there's a direct correlation between how connected you're going to feel to someone and how vulnerable you can be.
Yeah.
And I think that I said to you before this episode that one of the things I want to eradicate from my life is judgment. I want to be discerning in my decision making. In other words, I don't want to just, you know, wing it through life. Of course not. But I do want to try to understand the other person's point of view so well that I don't judge it. And I think that it's important to be around people who don't judge you so that you can practice being vulnerable. I remember one of my clients saying that you don't judge me. And so she struggled for years and years and years to express herself. And you've heard me say the quote over and over again, the suppression of self-expression will lead to depression. Turns out that I want to change that quote to the suppression of self-expression will lead to depression or a temper, depending on which end of the drive to five you're on.
I like that's the first quote better.
Right.
It flows better. You
it
know?
Does flow much better. But that's a whole nother episode. But so one of my clients, anyways, she really struggled to express herself with her family, her siblings, for years and years and years. And I said, the number one bottleneck to your long-term growth, I can tell, is going to be getting over this fear of self-expression, because I think that's the reason why you're feeling depressed. And she said that I was kind of like training wheels because it was so easy to express her truth with me because it felt like a judgment-free zone.
I love the fact that you said practice vulnerability, because that's what it is. It's not, for some people, I think being vulnerable comes natural. And I almost, in a weird way, think it's easier to be vulnerable on the microphone than it is to be face-to-face with somebody, because, number one, like, if I say something and you think it's fun, like, if I say I'm self-conscious about my height and you hear that and you say, oh, that's Kevin soft, you would literally have to reach out and message me and say I'm soft. So the chances of that happening are far less than you and I having a conversation and me getting uncomfortable.
Interesting.
Right? So I think practicing vulnerability is just like practicing gratitude. It's just like practicing confidence. It's just like practicing anything else, because if it doesn't come natural to you, it requires practice.
I think that this is something that I'm going to have to practice more, honestly.
I think the thing is, like, I would classify myself as somebody who is very good at that,
right?
At being vulnerable. But
Joyce said that on the TV show we were on.
Yeah, and the only reason is because it's attached. So for those, we didn't talk about. We talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, briefly.
But so Alan and I were invited onto
the Totally Well Show.
The Totally Well Shows. It was our first time being together for like a TV appearance. And when we got there,
first of many.
When we got there, Joyce said, "Hey, when we met at the event, you talked a little bit about your battle with depression and your thoughts of suicide. Is that something you would be willing to go into?" And I said, "Joyce, that's why I'm here. Of course.
Right.
There's nothing I won't talk about. Now, if I didn't have this purpose, if I didn't have the podcast, if I didn't have my reasons for doing what I do, would I be that vulnerable? I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. I think that it makes it easier.
So what's the opposite of vulnerability? Defensive?
No, I would say guarded.
Guarded, right.
Probably guarded.
So when you're guarded, you're trying to hide the truth? When vulnerability is owning the truth and expressing it?
I would say when you're guarded, you're not willing to... Interesting.
Right. To express what's real.
You're afraid to express what's real.
Yeah.
You would rather express what's fake in a comfortable manner.
Which makes sense. When you're guarded, you're it's like if you had a shield. If you were guarded, then you're afraid of getting hurt.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I just want to touch on... So I spoke about that Brené Brown Netflix special. One of the things she says, and I'm sure this ties into vulnerability, but I think the listeners, you and myself, can take something from it. She always says when she's in like an unresourceful state, the story that I'm telling myself is. It might... So we talked about this before. When we were in Florida, Alan and I had a bit of a spat.
Ah, yes.
I was being very self-conscious.
Yep.
I just was not feeling very confident.
Mm.
The story I was telling myself was that Alan was taking the limelight, I was going to get left behind, and I was not good enough. Mm. The story Alan was telling himself was, I'm adding value, as I always do, and that's that. The problem is, we both had different
stories
yep. and you're going to have different reactions.
Right.
So I think that when it comes to being vulnerable, that's usually what happens. Usually the stories are not the same. Right. So if you're having an argument with your significant other, it might not be
right. The meanings you're associating to the same event is so different.
Right.
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 Like you say something that meant one thing and they interpreted it as, oh, my God, that means that he doesn't love me or she doesn't love me or whatever.
So by it's default, you have to be vulnerable because the stories aren't the same.
And so in order to make them the same, you have to admit the truth to yourself and the other person.
So let me give an example. I'll give an example from this Netflix special.
Dude, you're fire on this topic.
Interesting. Brené Brown, she's next level, man. Okay. I learned a lot of this from her. So she and her husband were both avid swimmers. I think they were college swimmers. They were swimming across a lake, and she said, "Hey, I want you to know I'm very excited that I get to do this with you. Like, this means the world that we're able to swim together and be up here on vacation with the family."
Hell yeah.
And he said, "The water's nice, yeah," and swam away. So she tried this a couple more times.
Okay.
They ended up having a talk about it in the bedroom, and I'm obviously doing the short version of this. But he had a dream that he was swimming across the lake with the kids, and they got ran over by a boat. And he was supposed to take the kids swimming the next day. Now, the story he was telling himself the whole time he was in the water was not having a panic attack.
Right.
Because he was freaking out the whole time. The story she was telling herself was, well, we're up here, we're enjoying time together, and he doesn't love me. He must not love me because
he's freaking out.
He's freaking out. Maybe I don't look as good in a swimsuit as I used to. He hasn't seen me in a swimsuit.
Oh, shit, man.
So when it comes to vulnerability, when it comes to being self-conscious, women, it's usually your body. Men, it's usually weakness. Men don't like to be perceived as weak.
Right.
Women want to feel pretty, you know, and loved and cherished.
Typically.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a generalization. But
yeah.
So in that moment, the story she was telling herself was, maybe he's falling out of love with me. Maybe the spark is gone because he doesn't like the way I look in my swimsuit. The story he was telling himself was, I didn't even hear what you said because I was having a goddamn anxiety attack. Because I'm thinking
about the dream
about,
that I had last night.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the dream that I had with the kids.
Right.
So they both had to be vulnerable. He had to be vulnerable enough to say, I don't want to feel like a weak man.
I'm scared of this dream.
And she had to be vulnerable enough to say, I thought you didn't find me attractive anymore.
Wow.
So it's vulnerability on both sides. It's just who's willing to shoot their shot first.
Ah, who's willing to initiate the vulnerability.
Yes.
Interesting. Wow.
So shout out to Brené Brown for all that, because she, if you haven't seen that, I don't know the name of it. I should, but search her name on Netflix, it'll come up.
I don't know if I was growing up, I certainly wasn't. So again, bring some context here. Kevin and I both were raised by two women. Him, his mother, and his grandmother. Me, my mother, and my older sister. And we both grew up without fathers. So I think that we were naturally probably more vulnerable because we were in an environment where maybe it was okay to be soft. Mm. I certainly was at times. But I don't think I ever really linked up the benefits of being vulnerable.
The benefit, I think there's only benefits in certain areas. If you try to be vulnerable with somebody who it doesn't mesh well with.
Right.
Like if you try to be vulnerable with me and I just shot you down and said, I made you feel bad about it.
Right.
You know, then you would probably have a negative association with it.
I remember in high school.
We didn't set the alarm. I don't know how long it's been.
Oh, shoot. My bad.
This says 18 minutes.
Well, I'm going to be vulnerable and say I'm sorry and I didn't set the alarm and that was my responsibility. What does it say for time?
No, that says 18, but I think we might have let it run a couple minutes before.
Okay.
So let's do like a couple more. A
couple more minutes?
Yeah.
All right.
This is a really good topic.
Yeah.
Because I think this is something that's very underutilized in all relationships in general, but just living.
I'm realizing in this moment that I don't know as much about this topic as I would like to. I think that being genuine, being authentic, and being vulnerable are three keys to having a successful relationship, friendships, intimately, and all that. And I think that I need to work on the vulnerability piece for sure, which I'm excited about. But one thing I will say is in high school, I was always willing to ask the dumb question. That's an example of being vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And I remember one time the entire class laughed at me in pre-calc, or maybe this was AP calc. It was. And I remember Mrs. Pryor yelling at the class saying, he asked a question because he wants to know the answer, and there are no bad questions because bad questions, or there are no dumb questions because dumb questions lead to great answers. And I'd rather him be dumb in a moment or appear dumb in a moment than to, you know, be dumb for a lifetime. Like, he wants to learn. Like, that's why he's here, and you should be proud of him for that. So she stuck up for me. And I remember that specifically because it was so devastating at the time to be laughed at by all of these popular kids over in the left hand. I remember it like it was yesterday, over in the left hand corner of the class. I remember some specific names that I won't go into. But I remember thinking to myself, like, thank you so much, Mrs. Pryor, for sticking up for me in my most vulnerable moment. Because when you're getting laughed at in high school, like, it feels like the end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
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 And I think I've always been willing to, like, look dumb. Honestly, I feel like I've always been willing to ask the dumb question. Even in college, even in life, I think I've always been willing to be, like, wrong and to try anyway. I always say that no one will outfail me. What I mean is I'm going to try until I get it right, no matter how many times it hurts.
So on the opposite end of that, again, I've talked about the Fire Academy. I was not willing to be vulnerable and do the things that scared me. I wasn't willing to put myself out there and ask questions that I thought were dumb or look bad.
Right.
And that affected my everything. That affected so much.
So eventually you said that you weren't able to, when there was a real fire, you were too scared because you didn't learn enough.
I didn't know what I was doing.
So I was okay with looking dumb in the moment in an effort to learn. You didn't want to look dumb in the moment, so you didn't learn. And therefore, that was... So mine was a micro fail for a macro win. Yours was a...
It was micro. Everything. It was all fails, man.
Right.
No, it wasn't. It was a micro win for a macro fail.
Right, because you avoided the vulnerability.
Yeah.
You avoided the pain in the moment.
I'll never forget that, man. So I was on the volunteer fire department for the town that I live in, or lived in, and you get this pager.
Right.
And when you're on call for 24 hours for however many days it is.
Yep.
I think it was the weekend. So I'm sleeping, and the pager goes off at like 3 in the morning. And that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what the hell's going on. So I hop in my car, fly down to the station, get my gear on, car fire. Okay, so we're going to a car fire.
Right.
Cool. This is the first time I've ever seen a live fire not at training. Like, I've been in fires. We did a car fire. I've been in fire rooms, burn rooms.
Yeah.
I actually sat on fire one time by accident. But, so we show up, and I don't remember the captain or the lieutenant says, yeah, hook the 2.5 up to the outlet. And I'm like... I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, man.
Oh, jeez, man.
So I'm just like, just imagine nervous, self-conscious Kevin just like moseying around the engine trying to figure out what to do. After that, I was like, I screwed up badly. Like, it's too late now. I've lost all my confidence. I didn't have any confidence to begin with.
My goodness.
And now it's like, I don't know what to do. Luckily, after that, I got offered that job. But guys, if I was willing to be vulnerable and look bad and be wrong and ask questions, maybe get laughed at, maybe...
Right.
Then that would have changed the entire direction and the confidence and my skill set around being a firefighter. And who knows? That could have changed my entire life.
this conversation is changing my life. I don't think I've ever linked up.
I think you just naturally.
Well, really?
Yeah. We were talking about you don't care about judgment as much as most people do, especially me.
Interesting. There are definitely areas in my life where I am scared, though, and I allow that to control my truth. Right there, just for the listeners, I feel compelled to say this. I don't know if you were on YouTube or not, but you just teared up right there.
A little bit, yeah.
You still have some emotions built up with that moment.
I wanted to be a firefighter. Like, that screwed that part of it up. Now, could I have come back and learned? Sure. That could have been my stumble.
Right.
And I could have, but I got offered the job, and then the job was paying more money. It was easier, and I didn't feel competent. If I had a passion for firefighting, I probably would have stayed.
Mm.
But I it's hard to have a passion when you don't feel like you know anything about what you're doing. You know?
If you could go back to the fire academy, go back in time, like, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, don't care, man. None of these people.
Right.
Okay. This is great. If you're willing to laugh at me, then you also better hope the thing that you're laughing at me for is not what I have to save you from.
Interesting.
Because that's one of the things. You don't leave somebody behind in a fire, especially somebody you're with, right? Maybe I'm asking you that question because one day I'm going to have to try to save you and I'm not going to know what to do.
Right.
Or it's going to be your house burning down or something. Or something. I would say it doesn't just get over it because you're going to regret it. It's going to hurt more long term than it will short term.
I don't think I ever want to laugh at someone again for looking or feeling stupid.
Right.
I not that I do. I genuinely don't think I've almost ever done that. For some reason, I've always had an awareness that, like, laughing at someone when they're vulnerable will hurt them long term.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's because when I got laughed at in high school and bullied or whatever for being, you know, I didn't grow to 6 feet until I was junior.
Oh, yeah,
junior.
Me either.
Yeah, right. So I was actually
still
your
waiting.
Height, believe it or not,
still
freshman year.
Still waiting on that.
Because I didn't hit puberty until, still probably haven't. But seriously, I was a very late bloomer. And for a few years there, I was very self-conscious. I would get red in the face. I was scared shitless of public speaking. And I would get laughed at a lot and bullied and stuff in high school a little bit for being like the nerdy kid. And for not being good at sports. You were always good at sports, so people like valued that a lot. And I was always the kid who kind of like knew that long term I'd be smart, like it would be great, right?
That's awesome.
Which it did work out pretty well. But I don't think I ever want to laugh at someone when they're vulnerable again.
I think that's a great takeaway. We've gone over, but I think this was an interesting episode for you and I are on opposite extremes,
right.
I think, when it comes to this. And I think if you're listening, there's a good chance you're probably on my side. I think most people are afraid of judgment to some extent.
Mm.
And vulnerability goes hand in hand with judgment. That's what it is. If you're afraid to get rejected, that means you're not willing to put yourself into the vulnerable position of approaching the person or asking the question or whatever it is.
You have to be willing to get hurt.
You have
to risk getting hurt.
No risk, no reward.
You have to be willing.
If you don't want to be vulnerable, then you can sit in your room and do nothing. You have to be vulnerable at some point.
You have to be, yeah.
And I think, hopefully, us talking about it helped you realize, number one, the downside of not being vulnerable, it can literally change your life. It changed my life. Mm. Now, I'm glad it did because I probably wouldn't be podcasting. But, again, in the time, I wasn't glad.
Wow. Here's a super practical example. A lot of guys don't want to cry at movies.
Oh, yeah.
I tear up like a little,
yeah.
You know, I don't even want to say it, but I would tear up.
Yeah. Star is Born. I bawled my eyes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cry all the time.
I do too. It's you know, I don't want to say all the time.
Nobody
but
knows.
Definitely frequently. Yeah. You have to be willing to open yourself up to potential pain in order to grow.
And also, this quickly, we'll connect this. This goes back to the reputation versus your character.
Yeah.
Somebody might say, oh, Kevin's soft. I saw him crying at the movie. Little do they know that my character has so much association with the person in that movie because of what they've gone through or overcoming something that they've been afraid of their whole life.
Right.
Like, this is an interesting episode.
This is a very good episode.
I enjoyed this.
Yeah, I did too.
As Alan said, I completely revamped the website. So go check that out. Make sure you give it a peek. See if you like it. We are actually getting ready to record another episode I'm sure we're going to go super deep on. So we're going to go on the digital world versus reality.
Oh, yeah.
This is something that I am so fired up about. I'm so passionate about. There's apps where you can make your nose smaller. There's apps where you can give yourself abs. There's apps where you can put on a fake tan. All these things.
Mm-hmm.
These are short, micro wins. Alan and I are both in the same boat where I don't ever want somebody to meet me in person and say, oh, I thought he was this. I'm telling you right now, I'm short. So you better not say you thought I was taller.
He looks tall in this chair, though, for, yeah, sure, right. For sure.
I look the same size as Alan.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that so many people are focused on portraying a certain image that right. they almost, if you portray a certain image, that means you don't have to work on yourself. And we're all about working on ourselves.
Yeah, perception versus reality. But this is very specific to the digital era and social media. One thing I want to say just
quickly,
to wrap up vulnerability quickly, is this. The walls you build up to protect yourself from the bad guys also keep out the good guys. And I think I'm as guilty of this as anybody else, but be careful of putting ice around your heart, because when you do admit the truth to others, you have the chance at a deeper connection and much better relationships. And like Kevin said at the beginning of this episode, that I think is so important, if you want to grow, you have no choice but to go outside your comfort zone. And when you're outside your comfort zone, by definition, you've never been there before. In this, like, for example, if you've never run a marathon before and you decide to do that, you might screw it up because you've never done a marathon before. Don't expect to be an expert. You might get laughed at if you can't finish the race, but it's better than not trying. And I just think that trying is the most important piece.
I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording. And we hope you learned, because I think Alan and I both learned something in this episode. And
for sure.
I think that's always the ultimate goal. We will talk to you on the next one.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for listening to another episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast.
Going hyperconscious will absolutely change your life, because if you understand why something is the way it is, now you have the power to change it. If you going hyperconscious with us has changed your life in any way, please share this episode with one of your friends, because the more people that go hyperconscious, the better this world's going to be for everybody.
And if you would kindly leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would help us make more people hyperconscious, and we would be greatly appreciative.
Thank you.
Bye.